Hey, welcome to another episode of our podcast, The Canadian Breakpoint. So as everybody knows, we're live here today at the AMR Symposium in Toronto. We've had some great talks on AMR, antibiotic stewardship, diagnostic stewardship, and really lots going on in the area. And so today I have a very special guest with me, and I will have you do your introduction, and we are going to talk more about AMR.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. So my name is Dr. Kanchana Maratunga. I'm an infectious disease physician and work in the public health realm. So I currently work at the Public Health Agency of Canada and specifically in our AMR task force. So I am the director of stewardship, but also the medical advisor for the task force. And I do part-time clinical work at the Ottawa Hospital.
So lots going on.
Yeah.
And so what brought you to the symposium this year?
So this is my second time attending the symposium, and it's mainly related to some of our work. It was to provide an update in terms of what the government of Canada is doing when it comes to AMR, which is a priority for us, but also to give an update on one really special project that we're working on that we've launched with some of our partners, which I'll talk about. So that's really the main reason I'm here.
Awesome. So yeah, why don't we dive into some of the work that you guys have been doing. Obviously, I think the goal being for everyone is to really fight the AMR increases that we've seen and kind of work together with collaborative partners to do this. So what has been kind of the experience over, or what's been going on over the last, I guess, year?
Yeah. So, I mean, AMR is so dynamic, right? And the landscape continuously changes. And I've been in this field for the past decade or so from the government side. And as was discussed at my presentation, but also from the government end, we did develop a pan-Canadian action plan. So WHO has their own global action plan, and most countries now are developing their own national action plan. So this was Canada's effort to coordinate efforts both nationally and with provinces and territories. So the PCAP, as we affectionately call it, was put out in June 2023. So currently we're in a phase of really looking at gaps and strengthening governance in terms of within, as you know, Canada is a federated system. So healthcare delivery is done at the provincial level. Mm-hmm. So at the national federal level, it's always a tough position, but really our goal, our work is to really bring people together and say that this is a priority and we need to continue to fight that fight. And within that PCAP, we have five major pillars, which fall within AMR. So we have surveillance, which is really keeping a pulse on what's happening on a domestic as well as global level. We have research and innovation, which it comes to when it comes to delivery of new therapeutics, antimicrobials, vaccines, diagnostics, which was discussed even at the meeting here. We have infection prevention control. We have leadership, which is the governance aspect. And then stewardship, which is really the focus of the symposium this year. And so that's, there's multiple different projects happening on that, both at the federal level. We have, you know, 13 different federal departments that are involved because PCAP is really, it's not just human, it's a one health focus. So it's human, animals, and the environment and its interconnectedness. And there's a lot of work happening on the human and animal front. Environment is coming along. It's an area that's still, you know, very much research in the research involvement. And so there's, you know, there's progress reports that are published every year. There was a progress report last year. This year's report is imminently going to be published. And some of the highlights include, so this year we published the Canadian priority pathogen list, which is the AMR pathogens. There was a list published in 2015. So it took us about 10 years to update this one. And it was done with external and internal consultations. And so that was released in earlier this year. And it was also published in a scientific journal. And really that's to help us with guidance, not just guidance, but surveillance and to really identify some of the, what are the priority pathogens. There's also the One Health research strategy that was discussed last year here at the symposium. And then they did a survey over the last year. And now from that survey, they're putting a list together of the sort of the priority areas of research when it comes to One Health and AMR. And that's imminently coming out in the next few weeks. I've had a few people come up to me asking, did I have any further insight? And then the other aspect is stewardship. And one of the major aspects of stewardship was development of guidelines. So both for animal, and I can speak to the human side. So one area was to have part of that availability of information, education for prescribers was to have national guidance. We don't have national guidance, right? We a lot of the times, you know, even as a clinician, we go to IDSA or we go to
100%.
Other global resources. And so this was a first of its kind, noting that a lot of regions and provinces have their own guidance. So this is more at a high level, national level for regions to adapt as needed or for areas that don't have guidance in areas. So prescribers, frontline family doctors, nurse practitioners, pharmacists, and really targeting the current focus is primary care. So primary care syndromes. And this is the initial launch, which is really focused on the respiratory syndromes given the season we're in. And so we worked with our partners, AMI Canada, who spearheaded developing the guidance, and then First Line, the company that has helped implement and disseminate it. And we're really excited. We're now working on promoting it so that people get to know what it is. There were QR codes in our presentation that people use it. And I know AMI's and First Line are working on other venues to really get the word out. And it's, it's really exciting.
That's awesome. And then in terms of the guidelines, just because I'm interested, because I'm a pediatric infectious disease physician, and you probably realize that there's very limited guidelines and consensus. I mean, we have Canadian Pediatric Society, which I sit on the committee too, and we always have consensus guidelines. But it's kind of nice to have something more national, or at least, you know, framework for it. So are these going to be more aligned with clinical syndromes and antibiotic durations, that type of thing? Or is it more from like a different angle with like lab and diagnostic stage as well?
It's more clinical syndromes and really treatment focused. There is a bit of a diagnostics and laboratory or primary pathogens of concern. So for example, the respiratory guidelines we've released focus on both adults and pediatrics. And so community-acquired pneumonia, pharyngitis, sinusitis. So the syndromes of interest, and then we're going to continue to work on others like UTI, skin and soft tissue infections. And so really the focus is, once you have a patient and you think that that is what you've diagnosed, here's your guidelines in terms of treatment and duration. And if an antibiotic's not needed, then that's also in there. And we've connected to other groups like Choosing Wisely Canada. So they have their viral prescription pads. So it's all available on that app so that clinicians can easily access it. Also NACI guidelines for vaccines. So for community-acquired pneumonia, for strep pneumoniae, what are the guidelines? And I know it's varied across the provinces, but it's there for clinicians to access in terms of sort of a, hopefully a one-stop shop. It's overwhelming because there's so many resources out there.
100%.
So the goal is to have everything sort of there at your fingertip to be able to access to at the bedside.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really centralized and kind of creates that consistency. I think that's the other thing. Even with, I always see like if there's a bunch of ID docs in the room, sometimes the consensus could be so different. So this is helpful because you can centralize these and really have like a focus there. And obviously everything is case by case and guidelines are guidelines, but I think it's good framework for especially community care physicians who don't have accessibility or don't have day-to-day follow-up with their patients. I think inpatient medicine can sometimes be a little bit easier in that sense because you can have your day-to-day follow-up with that patient and round, but community physicians, I think, would benefit from this sort of infrastructure.
100%. And, you know, Deb and the other panelists can really speak to the amount of work and effort. And as you mentioned, you have 10 ID physicians in the room and sometimes you have 11 different opinions, right? So really getting down to those recommendations, there was a lot of work put in and really keeping into not just the evidence, but I think Dana described this really well. Treatment is not just the evidence, it's directed by patients. So keeping in mind your patient population and all the factors that come into that. And there's other tools in there in terms of like allergies, like pen allergy and how to work, navigate that. Because that's always a challenge. And the goal is, it was following the WHO AWARE antibiotic handbook. So ideally, it's not to prescribe if when not needed. But when you do prescribe, to find the most narrowest, most effective, least side effect, shortest duration that's out there in terms of therapy based on evidence.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
That's super exciting. And you mentioned obviously AMI and First Line are kind of working in that. So kind of what's the best resource tool that our listeners should be looking out for when you're getting all of these updates, and where can they go and where can they find
information? So, I mean, it's available for free. You can go to your, if you have an iPhone, you can go to your app store. Mm-hmm. Android, I'm sure, has a similar feature, and you can download First Line. Now, First Line's been around. They have guidelines across Canada for institutions, for other global entities. Mm-hmm. But you can specifically look for the Canadian Antibiotic Treatment Guidance. That's the Canadian specific, and it's available for free for clinicians. And you can sign up for push notifications so that as we update things, you'll get a notification saying that this has been updated.
That's awesome.
And
that's great.
Yeah.
Perfect. So obviously you guys have been working on a lot. And so I feel a little bit bad asking like what's the future, because it seems like there's a lot going on. But I'm sure my listeners are thinking, okay, what's next? You know, because it's always exciting. And I think you guys have a lot of momentum going, and there's a lot of work going on. I mean, even from, I was at last year's symposium, and I think you guys have done fantastic, even just in a short period of time. So obviously it's commendable, but what is the future and what are some of the other future initiatives that you're looking at?
Yeah. In terms of I mean, as I said, AMR is a priority for the government, and it's an area that we're going to continue to work in. Now, funding and budgets get very complicated over time, but in terms of the guideline project, the goal is to complete the syndromes that I've discussed, so that, you know, there is a comprehensive list of syndromes for clinicians to access. And, you know, we're in discussion with AMI and First Line about ongoing maintenance, mm-hmm. and perhaps addition of future guidance. A lot of that is still being discussed based on available budgets and such, but that is the hope, that it continues to be a flagship resource for clinicians across Canada. In terms of other areas, as I mentioned, surveillance is another area that I'm very involved with in terms of targeting up and coming concerns. Mm-hmm. So we know, based on the most recent data, you know, we have Canada Auris, that's a new kid on the block that was mentioned. So that's an area where we're trying to focus. Carbapenemase resistant or carbapenemase producing organisms, which are more in the healthcare setting. But, you know, we do have programs funded through BHAC like CNS that do collect that data. But the other focus is equity is a big piece that was included both in the priority pathogen piece, but it's also an area of interest specifically for the government, because we know that AMR impacts different populations unequally. And so that's an area that we struggle with in terms of collecting data, because we know when we look at like Staph aureus, MRSA, or other STIs, different populations are impacted differently when it comes to Indigenous populations or GBMSM, MSM. Mm-hmm. So trying to collect that information is always a bit of a struggle. So that's an area we're trying to look into, so that we can provide the necessary response and guidance that's culturally appropriate or appropriate to that particular group, and continue to work on governance and strengthening the AMR response across Canada.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, it's really great, because I think you're bringing up a really good point in terms of, you know, it's, even though it is a national and, you know, Canadian plan, I think it's really nice to look at the regional differences, that there are certain areas that are requiring enhanced kind of need in, for example, like I practice in Saskatchewan. Right. So are sexually transmitted infections or MRSA risk factors and population are really high compared to some of even, you know, really close provinces. And so I think it's really important, because it isn't like, it's not one answer for everyone. And so it's really good that you guys are looking at all the regional differences, and really excited that, you know, having the support, because I think as a clinician practicing, it's super nice to know that there's, like, you know, a national guidance on this. And I think that sometimes is frightening, especially as we're like seeing all the global threats with AMR, we're seeing all the resistance that's developing, the carbapenemase resistance, and then not only that, with immigration and travel, there's obviously emerging infectious diseases as well. And so, and we kind of talk about all this on the podcast, and it's frightening. I mean, it makes for a good conversation, but it's very scary. So thank you so much for all your work and your effort. And we look forward to seeing what's up and coming.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks.